This is one of those rare Sundays when all of the readings seem to work together. Last year when we were going through the lectionary readings, there would be some times you just had the hardest time figuring out how all four of those fit together and why they were chosen. But today, they fit together beautifully. And I've chosen Paul's words here as he comes to visit the church, saying, "We want to see you face to face again and restore whatever is lacking in your faith." Restoration was a big part of the Jewish faith, and Paul is telling us that continues in the New Testament. That because we are not perfect people, we need to be restored to what is lacking in our faith. Actually, more basic than that, we need to be restored to what God intended us to be in the beginning of creation. We were to live in perfect relationship with our God. And of course, Adam and Eve had a problem with that, and people have had a problem with that ever since. We are in need of restoration. This holiday, my family and I went up where several of you were a couple of weeks ago to Junaluska and to Biltmore House. And here is the largest private home in America on 8,000 acres of land with 1,500 employees and over 100 rooms. Just a marvel to behold, unless you're a six-year-old and a three-year-old. My six-year-old said, "I never want to go back there again." There was a lot of walking. And we went to lunch, and I said, "Boy, you know, just as soon as we finish lunch, we're going to get to go back and go through the house some more. Because there's over 100 rooms, and we didn't see 100. But you know, to a six-year-old, pretty much after you've seen two or three bedrooms, 10 or 15 more just don't impress you. But it really was an amazing experience. And how this has been restored in such a way that in our modern time, we can have a glimpse back into a life of years past. I was a little bit delighted to find out that they had over 100 miles of horse trails up there. But you pay a premium to $25 a day for the privilege of taking your horse up there. But it would be a nice experience for once to go on some of those trails that people 100 years ago went on as they rode on that magnificent estate. I remember when I was a young boy, there was a guy on TV that did refinishing work. And, you know, he sold the brand that had his name on it. I can't remember that brand right now. But I decided I wanted to restore some of the old pieces that my mother and grandmother had. And there was this particular table that I liked. And I got the refinishing material and followed all of the steps. And in taking off that dingy old black covering that had developed over the years was this gorgeous wood. I guess that TV show taught me the patina of the wood. You know, just the natural glow and texture of the wood. And, you know, every time I walk into my mom's house, that table is right at the end of the sofa. And I remember how, as a 12 or 13-year-old, I took on that restoration project to take an old item of furniture and make it better than it was, to restore it to the beauty of it, what it was when it was first created. And I know some of you have had projects like that or restoring an old house and bringing it up to date. That can be a little aggravating, but it's still a restoration project. Getting things back to what they were. Good, strong, viable again. We talk about restoration in a lot of ways in our lives. We talk about restoring our health. Going to doctors and medical services to restore our health, just as some people in our church have done recently, and some more frequently than others. But we know what it's like to feel good, and we don't like it when we're sick. We don't like it when we have problems. We don't like it when we have a lot of pain in our knee, and we want to be restored to health and mobility. And we can turn to medicine many times for that process. We can be restored mentally through psychological services, through counseling, dealing with issues that have plagued us maybe since childhood. Maybe we were physically or emotionally or sexually abused, and we can be restored to a whole person without so much pain of those memories that hold on to our lives. Why? Because we deserve to live a life without that kind of pain and without those kind of memories. And we can be restored spiritually. And that's what St. Paul is talking about here. I remember a couple that came to me a few years ago for marriage counseling, and we thought we were making progress, but found out the husband was just lying through his teeth about what was going on, and he had had an affair, but oh no, and we went on for months until, you know, the truth was found out. I guess out of sheer embarrassment, he didn't come back. His wife came back for counseling, and we worked through a number of issues, but I told her, you know, we can only work on you. We can't work on the marriage because he's not here. Now, you can go home and try to work on the marriage, but that takes two people. But we can work on some issues in your life that maybe are getting in the way. And we discovered that way back in her childhood was some abuse that had hindered her in her marital relationship. But we reached a point where I told her, you don't need counseling anymore. You need spiritual direction. You have some spiritual issues to restore you to what God wants you to be. You know, I thought we had a good session. Never saw her again. Or go to a doctor if we need restoring physically, medically. We'll even break down sometimes and go to a psychiatrist or a pastor or a counselor if we need restoration psychologically. But oh, how we resist being restored to what God wants us to be spiritually. And that's what Paul was saying to the people in Thessalonica. I want to see you face to face. I want to see you restored to restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now, I did say that all this pulls together, the four readings. The reading from the Old Testament that was read as the candle, the first candle was being lit in our Advent wreath, was from the book of Jeremiah. And all of the longing of the people, God was going to raise up out of a stump, a branch, in the line of David. See, the Jewish people longed for the glory days of the kingdom, when David and Solomon ruled, when they were important in the eyes of the world, where they were living faithfully with their God. They wanted that kind of restoration because they had been defeated again and again and again by Jeremiah's day. They longed for a Messiah who would come and and restore them to their glory days. And Jeremiah says that he would do that by raising up one, a branch up from David, who will execute justice and righteousness in the land. And his name shall be called the Lord of Righteousness. In other words, a part of restoration is doing things right. The scripture said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We want to do the godly, good things in life. The problem is, we want to do that, and some people actually get very good at doing that. They read their scriptures. They discipline themselves to try to do all of the right things. Sometimes they work on that so hard that they forget the balance that was talked about in Psalm 25. They forget the mercy and steadfast love that balances justice and righteousness. See, if we get all hung up on what's just and what's righteous, we finally reach a point where we're not only living our lives, but we're looking around judging everybody else. Judging them for how they're living most of the time, how they're not living up to things. We become harsh, demanding of the people closest to us. We can be demanding in our marriage, demanding with our children, demanding with our friends, demanding with other people in the life of the church, because we're going to do it right. This is right. This is just. Do it. But you see, we had a Lord who balanced doing the right thing with mercy. And mercy is so much more than letting people off the hook. Mercy is the steadfast love of God, the tenderness of God that understands our weakness, that understands that we mess up from time to time, that we need to know what's right, but we need some nurture sometimes to get us on the right track. I have known people that are such righteous people, and I don't see an ounce of mercy and steadfast love in them. I hope it's there, but I don't see it demonstrated. So what does all that right thinking and right doing and right knowing accomplish if there's not mercy and steadfast love that reaches out to others? You see, these two scriptures balance one another. It's not all about the law and being right. The Jews and their emphasis on the 613 commandments of the Torah didn't get it with Jesus. Why? They had no mercy. They showed no compassion. They didn't open themselves up to people with love and kindness. What do we accomplish if we're right, but unloving and unable to show mercy? Paul said, we're coming to see you face to face to restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Well, how in the world does this happen to us? Well, we finally get down to the last scripture, which is the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus himself tells us, be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with the worries of life and the day catch you unexpectedly. See, most of that passage is talking about the second coming. But he's talking about we get so weighed down with the worries of life that we just miss what Advent's all about. We miss what the gospel is all about. We get so worried about doing the right thing every day sometimes that we miss the love of a Savior who delivers us and accepts us even if we're not right and reaches out to us with loving kindness. As much as we need to do the right thing and follow the laws and commandments of our Lord and the Scripture, this world needs love a whole lot more. Because if I don't hear any love coming from you, I'm going to be real suspicious about your rules. I'm going to be real suspicious about your laws. I'm going to wonder, what's in it for you when I don't see God's love shining through all those good and right things? Paul says, I want to see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. You see, the Jews look for a Messiah to restore them to the glory days in a worldly sense. And I think the reason Jesus came the first time and preached the kingdom of God is he wanted us to get the idea that God needs to rule in our hearts and lives. And that means more than just doing the right thing, but loving people as well, not choosing one over the other. And a worldly kingdom would have confused that focus. So he has to come again to establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. But in the meantime, as we light our candles, as we hope for that coming again, what needs restoring in our faith? Because we're lacking something. This is a time to search deeply into our spiritual lives, not run away from it. And say, Lord God, I'm working so hard to do the right things. What am I lacking? And he says, love people, even if they mess up. Love people, even if they do wrong. Love people, even if they bug you. What needs to be restored that is lacking in your faith this day? I know some things in my faith that needs to be restored. And I'm thankful for this time of year to reflect and ask God to restore in me what is lacking in my faith. Are you willing to look that closely? Or like the woman who had reached the point where she needed to move to the spiritual, we just run away from it. Wake up tomorrow, business as usual. Not worried at all. Let us pray. Gracious Father, if we truly long for Jesus to come again to establish his kingdom, we need to let him establish that kingdom in our hearts and lives in a balanced way. It's not just about doing the right thing. It's also about mercy and love and tenderness and compassion. Balanced in a way that gives our Christian witness credibility. Gracious Father, we want to be a witness to your kingdom. But sadly, there are things that must be restored in our lives that are lacking in our faith before we can glorify you. Speak to us, move us closer to you, and restore us to what you would have us to be. For we pray this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.